Hello, a very warm welcome to today's CBI SME webinar. I'm Maxine Bly, Commercial Director at the CBI, and today's webinar focuses on digital transformation and trying to bust some of the myths around tech adoption. So promoting the adoption of readily available and cutting-edge tech to ensure that the UK remains globally competitive and can capture the opportunities for growth is a key priority for the CBI. Now, we know that the pandemic accelerated digital transformation for firms across the country, firms of all sizes, especially for businesses in traditional sectors who had to sort of digitalise operation processes quickly to prevent disruption to existing ways of working. We're really keen to think about how we build on that progress and accelerate from there. So really keen to use this webinar today to think more about the current state of digital tech adoption in the UK. We want to tell you a bit more about how the CBI is working on that and working to build confidence and tech literacy amongst our business community. We hope you're going to find out a bit more about the value of utilising digital tech to boost your business's productivity and growth, and that you might pick up some kind of practical tips and ideas to help you whatever stage of your journey you're at. So our speakers today, we're joined by Nathan Brown. Nathan is a Principal Policy Advisor at the CBI in our Innovation Directorate. He leads the team's work on business transformation and technology adoption and engages directly with government and CBI members to develop the policy levers and strategies to support greater firm level innovation. So Nathan, thanks for joining us. We're also joined by Tim Andrews. So Tim is a lead advisor in digital transformation at the Manufacturing Technology Centre in Coventry. The MTC provides support services and guidance to manufacturers in preparing, selecting and adopting new technology. And Tim's role is focused on helping businesses to plan, prioritise, identify and implement digital technologies to deliver business benefits. Tim, huge thanks for joining us as well. So in terms of how today will run, Nathan and Tim are both going to do a roughly sort of 10-minute scene set and kind of open up with their thoughts. We will then open up to you for questions. So any questions or comments, points of clarification that you have or you need, please do just pop them into the question box or the chat box on the screen. So on that note, Nathan, I'm going to come straight over to you to provide an overview of the current business innovation landscape and how the CBI is working on this. So over to you.
Great. Thank you very much, Max. And you set this up really, really well there. And welcome to everyone on the call. At the CBI, we really see digital transformation as a part of a once-in-a-generation opportunity to transform the UK economy. This has been demanded by COVID-19, our new relationship with the EU, our desire to reach net zero, rising geopolitical tensions and internal labour shortages. And if we're going to make the success of this moment of significant change, we really feel that UK PLC has to continue to show the kind of ingenuity, the agility and the resilience that it's demonstrated over the past 2 years. And our recent kind of headline seizure moment report, the economic vision that the CBI has set out under Tony Danker, has highlighted that the prizes are really too big to ignore for individual businesses, society, or the UK as a whole. So one of those prizes is the creation of a real innovation economy in the UK. And we know that innovation will continue to be a driver of growth and competitiveness for businesses and the UK. So while this vision includes funding for research and development, which has always been historically an area of real strength for the UK, this, in our view and in the view increasingly of government, is going to mean little if we do not create a market for those new innovations. And this comes from demystifying digital transformation now and raising the overall digital maturity of the largest cohort of the British business, which is SMEs. So I'm sure many people on the call would have experienced this or would have heard the figures that some businesses experienced 2 years worth of innovation in 2 months over the course of the pandemic. And while this transformation has provided a strong foundation for future growth, as this webinar proves, the UK businesses must continue to push forward when it comes to innovation, and the CBI is really here to help and really help to here to help drive that forward, both from a firm level perspective, but also through the levers in government, which I will touch on more in a moment. So when looking at the why of demystifying tech, I think it's good to look at all three lenses that I kind of touched on before. So that's individual businesses, the UK economy, and society, because it really does cross all three. So from the view of the UK economy, increased SME tech adoption could add around 45 billion to UK GVA by 2030 and really supercharge regional growth. That's a massive part of this that we're keen to make sure is echoed in all of the work that we do, that there is a really strong thriving regions aspect to digital transformation and that idea of kind of leveling up the country. From the view of individual businesses, successful digital adopters are proven to contribute to better revenue growth and shareholder returns. Early adopters and successful adopters of technologies such as AI, who have proactive innovation strategies, report profit margins that are 3 to 15 percentage points higher than the industry average in most sectors. And there's a potential 1.4% uplift in productivity across sectors through the automation of tasks. Looking then at the societal perspective, innovation is really helping to address societal challenges and helping to improve the health and well-being of staff within companies. And this is something that we saw actually really happen at the really kind of grow during, in importance during the pandemic, when employees' physical and mental well-being was really brought into sharp focus. And so businesses are really investing in innovation to really help their employees to feel better, both physically and mentally, financially, and in turn, that's really helping to strive better business outcomes. And the proliferation of video conferencing software and digital collaboration tools has also meant that businesses are now able to draw on a much more diverse pool of talent, and it's opening up opportunities for new jobs across the UK. And so the societal impact of this digital transformation is huge. And as you've already said, Max, this is a matter that is really central to the CBI's work. We've been engaging with both government and the wider membership to support firms to digitally transform. And firstly, in terms of through our work with members from across regions and sizes and sectors have shared their insights into how they have successfully digitally transformed. I'm going to touch on some of these quickly now, but I know that this will be touched on in a lot more detail later, but just to give you a bit of an insight into what members are saying. So many firms are finding that after a real spurt of activity when innovation went from urgent to important, it's hard to prioritize and make necessary changes. So as you can imagine, a lot of investment went into innovation over the course of the pandemic. And now businesses are really trying to figure out how to make best use of the investments that they've made. So really, in terms of overcoming these challenges, what members have said is really about setting a strategy. Now is a really good time to take stock, kind of consider what new goals must be set, how your current technology portfolio delivers against these, and where further investments need to be made. And then also seeking support, whether you're a supplier, organisations such as KTN and the CBI, or through government schemes such as Help to Grow and Made Smarter, which again I'll come on to a list a bit later, or through mechanisms such as tax credits, there is a range of financial and operational support that is available throughout the innovation ecosystem. So businesses joining calls like this is a great start, but really looking out at what is available will really help businesses to kind of demystify some of that digital transformation journey and really capture the benefits that we know are there through innovation. Also, as businesses become increasingly digital, they have access to more data than they really know what to do with. That was a big lesson from talking to members over the course of the pandemic, is that not only have they got new technology, they are capturing data in much quicker and in new and varied ways. And so turning that data into insights and to get real value for your business and customers, that's something that businesses are focusing on. And our latest Tech Tracker survey really highlighted that there were some challenges around this. So fewer than half of the respondents to our Tech Tracker survey stated that they're satisfied with their ability to maximize the value of their data. And the lack of relevant skills within the company was listed as a primary barrier to this. And firms are committing resources to retraining and reskilling their employees to plug to plug this gap. But really, going back to the original point, a lot of this is around strategy. And as a CBI, we want to make sure that, considering the breadth of the membership that we have, and we know that we have members who are doing this very, very well, that the rest of the membership are able to draw on this insight. So actually, next week, we have a roundtable on how to build a successful data strategy. This is part of the wider Making the Most of Your Data campaign. And I'd encourage anyone on this call to join that. May, I think, is going to drop a link into the chat so members can sign up there. So please do have a look at that. We'd be more than welcome to have you at the CBI offices. And as I said, this is a really good opportunity to hear how others are using data to really deliver positive business outcomes. And then one of the final ones is around prioritizing people in terms of strategy. So prioritizing staff engagement. As I said before, the challenges of the pandemic highlighted the importance of clear communication with staff and responding to the issues raised. And that's whether it's kind of at a operational level or whether it's at an emotional and physical health level. And senior leaders have to continue to demonstrate this. And they have to continue to demonstrate this openness. If there is going to be change, if there is going to be impact from the technologies that are being adopted, then businesses have to make sure that they're communicating that to staff. Everyone has kind of gone through quite a period of change, and so we are quite resilient to it now. But as things start to move into what the future of work is going to look like, if there are going to be kind of continued periods of change, it's really up to the senior leadership to make sure that they're communicating that properly to their staff. And digital transformation and the technologies that are adopted, at one point, while they are good for communicating that, they can also kind of be a part of the problem. And so it's really important to make sure that all of the employees feel that they're comfortable in using the technology and are also comfortable with the impact that it's going to have on their daily roles and their future progression. So that's just at a membership level. So looking more then actually to government itself and the work that the CBI is doing, there's really been a marked shift in terms of the focus that government is placing on digital transformation and firm level tech adoption. And the CBI has really been one of the leading voices in making sure that this remains on the agenda. As I said at the start, this issue isn't just about productivity. It's not just about kind of that firm level transformation. It really is about a UK-wide, economy-wide transformation. And it ties into the UK's goals around strategic goals, sustainability, and a wider focus. So that's one of the reasons CBI has been so keen to make sure that this stays on the agenda. Broadly, we've called for the wider innovation ecosystem to be made simpler to navigate and access. And so we've been really lobbying quite hard in terms of making sure that businesses know where the right support mechanisms are, but also that the process for applying for them and accessing that support is as easy as possible. We know that members are extremely kind of time poor at the moment. We know that they're under a lot of stress and they're under a lot of they're facing a lot of challenges, both internally and externally. And we want to make and government wants to make sure that, you know, this support is there and it's not going to waste. This money's not being wasted and it's really hitting businesses that need it the most. So that's at a broad level, but really focusing on just two programs specifically where the CBI is having a real voice and having a real a push is Help to Grow and Made Smarter. So Help to Grow Digital and Help to Grow Management provide support for provide direct financial support so businesses can adopt readily available technologies such as CRM and e-commerce. And then also on the management side, through a number of business schools, provide subsidized business management courses for SMEs. Both of these really came out of a lot of the work that the CBI has done, and we've been quite pleased at the speed at which government has rolled these programs out. We've been listening to members around their concerns around how the programs are developing, and we're keen to make sure that the next stages of the programs are really tailored to answer some of the kind of questions that members have had about it so far, and that it's really working in the way that will drive the wider societal and wider economic impacts that I've mentioned before. Megan, again, we're keen to kind of capture your views, especially on Help to Grow. Government and I was really keen to actually make sure that we're continuing to feed those views in so they can kind of tweak and change it. And it is an iterative process, but the only way that we can make sure that we are fully kind of representing your views is if we collect them. So Meg is going to share a link to a survey in the chat. It's completely anonymous, but what we're really looking to do is provide anecdotes, provide some really kind of clear insight for the Bay team who are looking after Help to Grow, so they can kind of take that to the relevant ministers that, and make the relevant changes. And so that link is in the chat as well. And I kind of welcome your views to that. And then on Made Smarter. Made Smarter is a manufacturing innovation support scheme that has so far been focused mainly around the Northwest and Yorkshire and Humber. It's had a real success. And again, manufacturing is an industry that, you know, contributes to 10% of the UK GDP. But I think which is a significant amount, but also what we've seen over the course of the pandemic and even more recently is the benefits of having a really strong UK manufacturing sector, whether that was, you know, the response to the pandemic in the production of vaccines, or as we've seen, there are supply chain challenges because of geopolitical tensions at the moment. Having a strong, digitally enabled UK manufacturing sector is not just about productivity, it ties into the wider sustainability and now even kind of strategic goals of the UK in terms of defence as well. And so that's why we're kind of quite keen to make sure that Made Smarter is rolled out nationally. We want manufacturers from across the UK to be able to access that support. And again, your views on any of these topics are something that we're really kind of keen to hear. And it's something that I'll be definitely keen to hear in the Q&A later on. But in terms of that kind of overall government government engagement, we're going to be continuing this kind of up to the forthcoming budget. Obviously, as we know, there's will be chops and changes, and there might the kind of wider political situation might look very different to the one it does now. But as you would have seen, hopefully in Tony's speech quite recently, our message is really about that the wider economic wider desire for economic growth is the kind of byline that no matter who it is, has to kind of focus on. And that's really what we're trying to do with our engagement with government. This situation won't change without a strong government support. And that's something that I think is going to be a clear message from the CBI from now until budget and going on from there, really. So as I said, very much looking forward to hearing your views in the Q&A.
Great. Thank you very much, Nathan, for that. I think, you know, the challenges that you outlined there in terms of, you know, it can seem expensive, it can be hard to prioritise, hard to know where to start, are kind of concerns that we hear every day from our SME members. And I think turning to Tim now, it would be great, you know, to get your thoughts and your experience based on your role at the MTC and the role you play in supporting SMEs to do this. The kind of lessons that you've learned from that and the tips that you have. So if I will, I will come straight to you now, Tim.
Thanks, Maxine. And thanks to the CBI for inviting me on this webinar. Unfortunately, we've had some last minute digital tech hitches, and that's one of the reasons that you won't be able to see my smiling face. So I'd like to talk a little bit about digitalization from a manufacturing perspective. I've been at the MTC for about 5 years working in digital transformation. For those that aren't familiar with the MTC, it's one of the seven high-value manufacturing catapult centres, which was set up about 11 years ago. And their role really is to advance the research and development of technologies, products and processes that accelerate manufacturing growth. And that's really, you know, a key to helping and supporting manufacturing industry in the UK. At the Manufacturing Technology Centre, we have a team of 50 plus transformation advisors coming from all aspects of industry, manufacturing operations, operational efficiency, automation and robotics, and of course, digitalization. And I'd like to just talk a little bit about what we mean by digitalization in a manufacturing context. From a manufacturing point of view, many people have probably heard the term Industry 4 or the Fourth Industrial Revolution. And in the same breath, you'll have heard about technologies such as additive manufacturing, artificial intelligence, advanced robotics, augmented reality, and cloud-based computing and analytics. And in truth, many of those technologies are essential for furthering the cause of digital transformation. However, my perspective is a sort of a bit lower level, really, to some extent, in that it's all about improving information flow through business processes and getting insight about what is happening within the process and ultimately what might happen, and then how do you use that to optimize it. So it's understanding the data that flows through the process, whether it be the upstream or downstream activities, and that can be anything from preparing quotations, developing designs, your planning and scheduling, quality activities, inventory and logistics. So keeping everything in the digital sense helps improve efficiency in the process, and also it helps avoid manual errors creeping into the process itself. And when you're working with digital information, the most important thing is making that data and information accessible to everyone in that process. And we've got surveys that we've done with companies, or companies have worked with vendors, and in some cases, up to 50% of people's time can be spent looking for information to support their day-to-day activities, and that's a tremendous waste of value in the business process. So, opportunities to reduce paperwork, handoffs between systems, are all part of that digital transformation activity. And by focusing on process, we've also got to look at how people interact with that process, and people are a really critical part of any digital transformation activity. And we coined the phrase people first, because if you're embarking on digital projects, it's really important to get people engaged in that process. People generally are afraid of change and they resist it, particularly if they don't know how it's going to impact them as part of that activity. So, and I think Nathan touched on this really, it's, the role of people in a digital transformation. It is about technology, but fundamentally it's about people, process, and then how technology enables that activity. And when you're considering a digital transformation activity, it's really important to get the right culture for what digital means to the business, and that will pay dividends. The other side of it is skills and digital skills that are required to support any digital activity. When you're planning a digital project, it's really trying to identify what resources and what skill gaps you're going to need. And we've seen a lot of success in organizations that create digital champions and almost build their own internal group of homegrown skills with digital activities. I'm going to talk a little bit now on a couple of examples with manufacturers, how they solved a problem using digital technologies, but more importantly, how they embedded those skills within the business. And the other side of these examples is that they were not high investment activities. They were very much, what can we do with what we've got and how do we move that forward? So the first one I'm going to talk about is an aerospace machining company, a family company, about 40, 45 people. And they had a real problem with on-time deliveries for their major customers. They were delivering at about 80% of on-time delivery, which was a real challenge for them. They also recognized that within their manufacturing system, they had a lot of inaccurate data. Nobody trusted it. So therefore, people were always trying to create workarounds. And then the other side of it, so they had no visibility of what was going on in the process. They didn't know what the capacity was or what the status of production was once it had started in the manufacturing process. So firstly, they engaged with their people and they said, look, we've got to solve this. We've got some real problems here. We need to understand how to do that. They also got some external help. In this case, it was the MTC. I'm going to blow our trumpet there, I'm afraid. And one of the, one of the first things was get the data cleansed. So they knew they had problems with the data, but you can't rely on data in a digital system unless you know it's accurate. So one way or the other, you're going to have to do the hard yards on making sure that data's right. They also looked at optimizing their schedule. Which was also important. They wanted to use the systems that they got to do the job they were supposed to do. The next thing they did was said, we want to give people visibility about what's happening in that process. So they put up dashboards, digital dashboards, throughout the manufacturing site. So every operation had its own dashboard focused on that particular team, which identified what the work was that was coming up, when it was due by, how many were required, and what they could see then where they were in the process. And when those activities fell behind, they could also see that. So it was very clear what the priorities were, what the expectations were going forwards. And the results were dramatic. I mean, they achieved improvements on their on-time delivery from 80 to 99%. That allowed them along with that, they also increased their productivity because they were much more efficient by focusing on the things that were important. They relied on the system to do what it was supposed to do, and that gave them the confidence to know that they had more capacity than they originally expected. That's allowed them to increase sales turnover and profitable growth. And I think more importantly, what it's done with them is it's helped develop a culture of digital improvement in the business. It gave them that confidence to look for other activities. And they've now started connecting the machines into the system. So they're monitoring for maintenance activities, for changes in the process. They're digitizing their capture of data quality. So this was a great example, really, where they didn't put any investment in terms of technology other than buying some monitors to put up around the factory. They didn't buy any new software. What they did is exploited the software they got, and they cleaned the data in it, and then they shared that information across the team of the teams. And actually, they saw an improvement in behavior. They saw a change of behavior amongst the teams because everybody was working to the same agenda. Everybody knew what their role was. The second example I'll give you is again with a manufacturing company, similar. This is a fabrication assembly business, family owned. And this is almost a backroom administration activity. They identified from within the accounts team that they were wasting a lot of time in doing routine transactions, which are actually adding no value, copying information from one system to another or into a spreadsheet or into an email. And this was really quite a tedious activity, but they had to do it month in, month out. So they decided to look for an automation opportunity, and they looked at a technology called robotic process automation, or RPA. And that's used for automating screen-based activities. And they gave the person in the accounts team the time to learn that and run some trials. And they undertook some projects which could rapidly automate those routine activities, taking information from one system, put it in another. So now that they feed it with a set of data at the front, it automatically does those copy and paste, log into the various systems, move that data across. And it's freed up days of time per month in that accounts team, and actually, you know, it's now adding value where for an activity really that didn't need somebody to be doing it. The good news from that was that the time they freed up with that individual has allowed her to go on and do other projects across the business for automation. So they've started to build that digital skill set within the organization. And the organization is now almost constantly looking for digital improvements. And again, this is one where it changes the culture because they build that confidence as to what they can achieve. It hasn't had a massive cost to the business in terms of investment, and it's created value by taking somebody out of that role and transforming it in another way. And that's really key. It's how can people within a business support those activities? So those are two examples from a manufacturing context, but again, one is more of an administration, back in administration. But I just wanted to get the point across there. It's really, you know, there's lots of quick wins within a business, and it's a lot down to maybe exploiting the technology you have got. And don't get me wrong, there are, you know, in many cases you will need new technologies, but the opportunities are there to get gains from those. So I just want to finish off really by talking a little about how the MTC can support SME manufacturers. As I think I mentioned before, we've got a dedicated SME team with experienced manufacturing practitioners. So we would come to site, do a complimentary line walk, listen to the challenges and priorities, and identify where we could add value. And in the case of digital, very often the start point is, what are the opportunities? What's the roadmap? What's the business trying to achieve? Where are you now? And where could you be through application of digital technologies, and put that digital roadmap in place? And then we would then be able to follow up with support for implementation, working with vendors, ensuring skills are embedded, that type of thing. So very much a holistic approach of moving an organization through that manufacturing piece there. And the MTC also has a fund, which we call MTC Reach, which subsidizes our time of working with SME manufacturers. And there are other programs, and I know Nathan mentioned this earlier, in things like the Made Smarter program, and we're involved in that activity, certainly in the West Midlands. And then there's others like Help to Growth. And those programs provide not only financial support, but also some free advisory support. So it's always a good place to start on that process. So I just wanted to finish really by just leaving you with sort of three ideas, really. Have a look at what you're doing in the business and develop a plan. Look for those quick wins. And it's not always a need to embark on an investment program. It's very much identifying what you can achieve with what you've got. And develop those digital champions. Look in-house for the people who you know can help empower and help others build on those skills. And all the organizations we've worked in that have been successful in digital transformation have very much built those skill sets internally. They have used external support, but once you've got those people engaged and motivated, then there's a really good opportunity to build your own skill sets. So that's everything from me. So thank you very much for listening, and I'll hand you back to Maxine.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Tim. Really, really useful to hear a couple of those practical case study examples. And who doesn't love a quick win? We all love a quick win, right? So thinking about how we can get those within our business sounds like a great kind of start point. Okay, we're going to move into some Q&A now. We've got one question that's come in on the line that was quite similar to the first question and that I was going to ask, actually. And Tim, might be a good one for you to start with. That I'm really interested in sort of what are some of the pitfalls that businesses can fall into when selecting digital technologies. And actually, a similar question sort of coming in from one of our attendees on the line is that as a business leader, it can be really hard to sort of choose a tech partner or know where to start with sort of selecting who you should work with. So any tips for that, maybe on both the positive what you should do and the traps not to fall into?
Yes, I think often often you'll recognize you have a problem and you'll do a bit of research and say, well, that technology solution might help us do that. But actually, and we've got countless examples of organizations that have gone to several vendors, chosen the one that they thought they liked the look of best, and then gone with that, only to find out it wasn't quite the right solution. So, I mean, getting an agnostic partner or support organization, and I'm going to, like the MTC, other organizations are available, who can help you understand what your needs are and build your requirements before you then go to vendors is really helpful. And in fact, they can actually help you identify perhaps a short list of vendors. So doing your background to understand what capabilities you're looking for before you go to a vendor and what your requirements are is really important, because if you haven't got a clear idea of that, you're not going to ask the right questions and you're not going to challenge. The other thing is, make sure you're exploiting the capabilities that you have got in-house first and foremost. The example I gave, and we've seen it again, if you've got a manufacturing system, an ERP or MRP system in place, often or not, we hear countless complaints of it's not doing what we want it to do. So we're putting things in Excel to work around it. You really should explore, the investment you've made and try and get the value from that. So it could well be that you have got the capabilities to do that within the technology. So always look for to exploit what you've currently got, and then get somebody, a trusted advisor, who can then take a sort of a holistic look at what your needs are before you think the right technology. And we've had the same for things like robotics and automation. Somebody will say, I need a robot to do this. In reality, when you look at the process, it wasn't the right solution, and there were other things you could do which would free up more capacity or more availability. So very much, I would say, work with experienced, trusted advisors, but also make sure you're exploiting the capabilities you've already got.
Great. Thanks, Tim. I suppose thinking about the other kind of big challenges that our members are grappling with at the moment and that businesses are grappling with, one at the moment is particularly sort of decarbonisation and how they sort of take the next step on their net zero journey, particularly in the context of really high energy prices, energy efficiency being a really kind of big driver of activity at the moment. Nathan, maybe I can come to you just to think a little bit about the role that tech adoption and innovation can play in helping them with that challenge.
Yes, of course. And actually, the big one as part of this, so we recently launched a report called Be More Green. And one of the things that the CBI has really been keen to do is make sure that members are learning from each other around how to use innovation and use technology to be more sustainable. And actually, one of the big lessons that we saw from that is similar to what Tim was just saying, actually, is sometimes it is about the tech and sometimes it is about innovation and it is about going to those trusted advisors and making sure that, you know, you have the technology, the latest technology that to kind of achieve your sustainability goals. But really, some of it is actually about innovating in very small ways. Some of it's about really, it's not kind of quite expensive, huge investments. You know, I think one of the examples was used around, you know, making sure that all of your kind of faucets were kind of tightly, were wound tightly, and that how that can save energy. And really, it's about doing a bit more of a strategic view of your sustainability goals, and then finding if innovation and technology is necessary to achieve those goals or supplement that. But really, it's about actually understanding what those goals are first and what actions could be taken, those quick wins, as Tim was saying, that might not necessarily need innovation. So it's less of a tech led approach and more of a goals led approach, and then that should drive how you approach innovation in kind of this specific area.
Thanks Nathan, that makes sense. Tim, is there anything that you would add to that?
Yes, as Nathan says, a lot of it isn't about the tech. It's about understanding what those requirements are. Obviously, if you have technology and you have the ability to gather data from your processes, that's helpful. We've done work with organisations, with SME businesses, in how to help measure your scope, your carbon footprint scope measurements 1, 2, and 3, and that's quite an extensive process, but it really helps get insight into what you can control and what you can't, and that really helps you focus your attention on where the opportunities are or at least where the gaps of information are, the things you don't know about your process. So very much a structured process for how you approach that that sustainability road mapping activity, if you like.
Brilliant, thank you. And maybe I think we've just got time for one final question. Nathan, it would be really good just to close on what more you think government can do to support SMEs in tech adoption, and what we'll be sort of pushing for on their behalf.
Really, the main thing that we've called for, as I said, is really around making it easier to access that support. But one of the things that we want to do is make sure that digital transformation support is really well aligned with the wider innovation support system. There are kind of quite a lot of different pots of money, different kind of schemes that are available that businesses can access. But really, what we want to make sure is that businesses are able to, that process is as streamlined as possible. So that's one of the things that we're kind of continuing to push government on, specifically around Made Smarter and Help to Grow. So currently, we're pushing for Help to Grow the technologies to be covered under Help to Grow to be expanded. That's one thing that members have said that they really want. You know, that direct financial support is great, but it's obviously been targeted at very kind of basic technology so far. And we want to make sure that we're driving that kind of continued adoption. And so we want to make sure that as many businesses are accessing that support as possible. So it's a big pot of money for this, which is great. But we want to make sure that it's as dynamic as possible to kind of meet the needs of businesses. And then really on Made Smarter, it's about rolling that out nationally. There are that support, the Made Smarter support and the success of the Northwest pilot that it has. So I think one of the stats were that 85% of businesses who adopted technology and manufacturers who adopted technology through the Made Smarter program recorded an increase in their productivity. That's a great example of a government scheme that has done well, and that's been good at drawing on the wider expertise of a sector. And actually, that's something that government should be proud of and then should roll out across the country to make sure that all manufacturers across the country are accessing it. And actually, the model itself is something that we really like. The CBI is, as I said, is a proven success. And so we're also calling on government to look at ways that they can use a made smarter model to drive the adoption of different technologies in different sectors outside of manufacturing. So specifically AI, and how could that then potentially be deployed through a made smarter model into professional services, into transport. That's a kind of a key way that we think that the government can kind of reach some of its wider goals. So as I said before, some of its economic goals, but also got some of those wider sustainability goals as well. So those are kind of the three bigger areas that we're going to be focusing on up to this budget and then beyond that.
Fantastic. Thanks, Nathan. We have, I'm afraid, run out of time for further questions, but any follow-up that you do have, any questions that you think of, please do get in touch with the team. So it just leaves me to say a huge thanks to our speakers, to Nathan and to Tim. Thank you for joining us. Really useful and hopefully some practical takeaways for you all. If you're tuning into our SME webinar regularly, just a note, we are pausing now for the summer and hope to be back in September. Keep your eyes peeled for kind of next date and next topic on that. If there are any topics that you would like us to discuss on these webinars or ideas for them, please do get in touch with me or the team. And we hope you have a great summer, and we'll see you soon.